नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 10 एंटाइटल महाराज रहुगुणा मीट्स जड भरत टेक्स्ट नंबर 7 and 8। अथा देर आफ्टर ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पज बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: Thereafter, when the king saw that his palanquin was being still shaken by the carriers, he became very angry and said, "You rascal, what are you doing? Are you dead despite the life within your body? Do you not know that I am your master? You are disregarding me and not carrying out my order. For this disobedience, I shall now punish you just as Yamraj, the superintendent of death, punishes sinful people. I shall give you proper treatment so that you will come to your senses and do the correct thing." We go to text number 8. Translation: thinking himself a king, King Rahugana was in the bodily conception and was influenced by material nature's mode of passion and ignorance. Due to madness, he chastised Jad Bharat with uncalled for and contradictory words. Jad Bharat was the topmost devotee and the dear abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although considering himself very learned, the king did not know about the position of an advanced devotee situated in devotional service, nor did he know his characteristics. Jad Bharat was the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He always carried the form of the Lord within his heart. He was the dear friend of all living beings and he did not entertain any bodily conception. He therefore smiled and spoke the following words. Purport by Srila Prabhupada: the distinction between a person in the bodily conception and the person beyond the bodily conception is presented in this verse. In the bodily conception, King Rahugana considered himself a king and chastised Jad Bharat in so many unwanted ways. Being self-realized, Jad Bharat, who was fully situated on the transcendental platform, did not at all become angry. Instead, he smiled and began to deliver his teachings to King Rahugana. A highly advanced Vaishnava is a devotee. Vaishnava devotee is a friend to all living entities, and consequently, he is a friend to his enemies also. In fact, he does not consider anyone to be his enemy. Surada Sarvadehinam. Sometimes a Vaishnava superficially becomes angry at a non-devotee, but this is good for the non-devotee. We have several examples of this in Vedic literature. Once Narada became angry with the two sons of Kubera, Nalakuver and Manigriva, and he chastised them by turning them into trees. The result was that later they were liberated by Lord Sri Krishna. The devotee is situated on the absolute platform, and when he is angry or pleased, there is no difference, for in either case, he bestows his benediction. So in this wonderful conversation, the wonderful interaction between Maharaj Rahugana and Jad Bharat, we see that how Jad Bharat is very determined to be completely alert within himself, and therefore he is trying to be completely oblivious of the externals around him. And therefore, in spite of so many chastisements, so many mistreatments right from the beginning, that his father tried to rectify him. Later on, his stepbrothers tried to mistreat him in various ways, not knowing what was his level of advancement. Later, after that, when the dacoits abducted Jad Bharat and mistreated him, and even at the point of killing him, he did not retaliate. And now here is a king, and he is holding the palanquin, and the king is completely angry at him. And while the other palanquin carriers were completely terrified by the anger of the king, Jadbharat was completely without any kind of an expectation of the king's chastisement. So we see that Prabhupada says that there are two understandings here. Prabhupada is giving in the first purport and the first other purport. Srila Prabhupada is giving us the distinction between the person in the bodily conception of life and a person who is beyond the bodily conception of life. And nevertheless, Prabhupada says that it's not that the Vaishnava never becomes angry, but his anger also is transcendental and for the benefit of the one with whom he becomes angry. So these two parts we'll try to discuss briefly. And we see the very same, very similar incidences in the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein these personalities, these two kind of personalities, a person in the bodily conception of life and a person beyond the bodily conception of life, wherein one became completely overwhelmed by the modes of passion and ignorance, becoming very angry, and the other was completely unaffected because of his unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these two instances are, which comes one of them in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj, and the second one is that of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. Very similar situations. Both of them were being chastised, and both of them were being chastised by very great powerful personalities. Yet both of them were defeated by the power of the devotion and unalloyed surrender of those devotees who were completely fixed their minds on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we'll try to see in briefly and some very nice two similarities. As Jadbharat is being chastised here by King Rahuguna, similarly Prahlad Maharaj was being chastised. And we will hear from Hiranyakashipu. Shri Hiranyakashipu Vacha: He durvinita mandatman kula bheda karadhama stabdam machhashana udvritam neshve twadyash yamakshayam. Hiranyakashipu said, O most impudent, most unintelligent disruptor of family, O lowest of mankind, you have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. So you see similarities here, that even Maharaj Rahuguna is saying that I shall just punish you now as Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, punishes. And here even Hiranyakashipu. So just as Maharaj Rahuguna is thinking himself to be the king, Hiranyakashipu is thinking himself to be the controller, the supreme proprietor and the enjoyer of the whole cosmic creation. And therefore, because of identifying of this role, he is chastising Prahlad Maharaj. And is, and the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wonderful explains that how all this actually glorify Prahlad Maharaj beautifully. Taking the side of the Saraswati, the goddess of learning, he says, when he says durvinita, so he says duhu. Duhu means this material world, dukhalayam, ashashvatam, miserable material world. And vi means, stands for vishesha, means specifically. And nita means specifically brought down. So Shri Prahlad Maharaj was specifically brought down into this material world to destroy all the miseries of material existence. So he is glorifying, he is saying that Hiranyakashipu meant impudence, but actually it means that he is glorifying Prahlad Maharaj as being the deliverer of people from the material existence. Then he is saying that Mandatman, Hiranyakashipu is emphasizing, is mentioning Srila Prahlad Maharaj as lazy, unintelligent, doing nothing to help the demons. So he is lazy. But Vishwanath Chaitanya Thakur says that manda atman. Manda means those people who are lazy in spiritual realization. And atman means one who is the guide of all those mandas. So Prahlad Maharaj is actually the guide of all mandas, including Hiranyakashipu. And therefore, he is now telling kula bheda kara. One who is a disruptor of the family tradition. But actually, Prahlad Maharaj is an exalted devotee and he is so great that he has made even those great personalities who had established big, big families seem insignificant. And therefore, he is said as kula bheda kara, is glorified by Hiranyakashipu in this way. And he is telling stabdam, obstinate, you are obstinate. As even Raguna is saying that, what's wrong with you? What trouble you have? And he's constantly chastising. Obstinate means keeps on repeating the same mistake, giving an indifference. So, as Hiranyakashipu addresses Prahlad Maharaj as obstinate, so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wonderfully brings this point that actually a devotee can do nothing but give a indifference to the asuras. And he knows nothing but to follow the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore he does not respect. And therefore he is truly obstinate because he is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And mas shasam udvatam. That means he has given up. He is given up my ruling. And Vishwanath Chaitanya Thakur says that it is natural for a devotee to reject the orders, reject the ruling of the demons. And yamakshayam, that means I will send you to the place of Yamaraj. So Hiranyakashipu is understanding that everyone is sent to the abode of Yamaraj. And therefore, everyone is controlled by the superintendent of death. But Prahlad Maharaj, being a dedicated devotee of the Supreme Lord, because of the power of his devotion, he will liberate me from the clutches of Yamaraj. Yamakshayam. And in this way, the chastisement of Hiranyakashipu is so wonderfully glorifying the transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. And similarly, we see that Maharaj Ambarish, he was also chastised by Durvasmani for a trivial cause, for an insignificant trivial transgression, a seemingly transgression. So he says, Durvasa Muni, Oho asya nirshamsasya shriyonmattasya pashyata dharma vyatikramam vishnor abhaktasyesha manina. Alas, just see the behavior of this cruel man. He is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Being proud of his material opulence and his position, he considers himself God. Just see how he has transgressed the laws of religion. And here also we see Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur at his best in turning all the chastisements as glorifications. And he says that Ni Shamshasya. Nir means, as he mentions here, as one who is cruel, Nri Shamsasya. But Nri means by the local people, and Shamsasya means he whose character is glorified. He whose character is glorified by the local people, that is Ambarish Maharaj. And then he says, Shriyon Matasya, one who has been maddened by the material opulence, by the riches. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Maharaj Ambarish was completely detached. And because he was detached from this, as he was attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not be overwhelmed by the madness of the material opulence. And therefore, Shriyon Matasya. And he says that dharma vyatikramam isha manina. And wonderful, isha means God, manina means accepting the order of the God. As Durvasa Muni meant isha manina means considering oneself as God, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur breaks that word in two parts and says isha manina. Isham is God and Maninam is accepting the order of God. So he is so much avowedly truthful to the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he can do nothing but following the vows of his Ekadashi, and for that he did Dharma Pratikramam. What was the Dharma Pratikramam? That he took a little water, and which actually terrified or angered Durvasamuni. And that was the wonderful understanding that Dharma Pratikramam, a devotee can, the highest religion is to follow the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see in both of these wonderful pastimes some very striking similarities. Of them, we see that both of them showed how a devotee must tolerate awkward situation created by non-devotees. As Prabhupada said, there are always these two classes of people, the suras and the asuras. And therefore, there will be always some trouble created by the non-devotees. And both of these situations, we understand that they give us a lesson that how to tolerate awkward situations created by the non-devotees. Both of them were, secondly, dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were fixed in their meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Prahlad Maharaj was completely fixed in remembering the Supreme Lord, and Amrish Maharaj was also completely fixed in the remembrance of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that a devotee meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead not out of material profit. Oh, I'll get something, I'll be saved. When Maharaj Amrish was the fiery demon was caused by Durvas Muni, he was completely fearless. He did not move an inch from his place. If there is even a little cockroach, you know, if it's somewhere around us, we, you know, at least we move so much feet away from that cockroach. But here a fiery demon was there, and he did not budge even an inch, because he knew that if Krishna wanted to protect me, then no one can harm me. And if Krishna wants to harm me, no one can protect me. So a devotee, he does not meditate or does not perform his devotional service with some expectation. He simply depends on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this was shown by the wonderful character of both Prahlad Maharaj and Ambarish Maharaj. Thirdly, a devotee is completely assured of the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Ambarish Maharaj was, the example is given, Srila Prabhupada mentions that even before Ambarish Maharaj could pray for protection, the Sudarshan Chakra was already released. And Prabhupada gives a very hope-giving sentence that any devotee who has begun his devotional service is protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead right from his beginning of his devotional service. Even without anticipating Krishna's protection, the protection is almost guaranteed. And fourthly, we see that in all of this, in fact, of these three pastimes of Jat Bharat, Raghuguna Maharaj, and the Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu and Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasamuni, in all of these three, we see that the devotees who were at the receiving end of the chastisement actually wished all welfare for the chastiser. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was asked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to ask for some benediction, and what was Prahlad Maharaj's only request to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You are so merciful to the fallen souls, so I ask you only for one benediction. I know that my father at the time of his death had already been purified by your glance, and he was unnecessarily angry because of ignorance of your powerful supremacy, and thus he directly blasphemed against your lordship. O lordship, the spiritual master of all living beings, and he had committed such heavy sinful activities, I wish that he be excused. Similarly, Ambarish Maharaj, he prayed wonderfully to the Sudarshan Chakra, the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that please excuse this Brahmana. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without second, who is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and who is the life and soul of all living entities, is pleased with us, we wish that this Brahmana, Durvasa Muni, be freed from the pain of being burnt. And similarly, Maharaj Rahugana, when he was chastising Jad Bharat, he was silent, Jad Bharat, but when he actually wished to do some welfare, he spoke the words of transcendental wisdom. But in both of these pastimes, as we see, as Ambarish Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, they both were already offended. They were tried to kill. That was a very severe offense. The attempt was made to kill that Vaishnava. But here we see, as soon as Rahugana Maharaj hears Jad Bharat's transcendental messages, he immediately realized the standard of Jad Bharat's realization and character. Immediately he offers obeisances. He does not risk the chance that of offending Jad Bharat continually, but he stops. As soon as he understands a Vaishnava's character, he immediately stops from offense, from further offense. So we see that instead of regretting, like what Durvasa Muni regretted, a devotee can always receive pointers, receive understanding as to how important the Vaishnavas are. And just at the right moment, Maharaj Rahugana offered his obeisances and surrendered to the instructions of Jad Bharat. So we see that ultimately the devotees of the Lord are very merciful. And therefore Srila Prabhupada says that the Vaishnavas are superficially angry sometimes. It's not like Jad Bharat that we always show the mercy one way. So the mercy always comes the other way. Therefore we see that there are incidences of chastisement throughout our scriptures, throughout the Vaishnava history. And therefore, we discuss something about this chastisement and how to receive chastisement, or what are the benefits of chastisement and how to receive this chastisement. Because it is an integral part of a devotee's life. And most of the time, it is the most fearsome element in a devotee's life, that any time he might be caught up and chastised for his inappropriateness, for his lack of capacity or ability. So devotees very much defensive when this type of situation comes. So how to get the best of these situations in our life? So we see that we don't have to be very much worried, because the great intimate associates of the Supreme Lord, they were chastised, and when they were chastised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they welcome that chastisement as the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see in the pastime of Kamalakanta Vishwas, that when he went with Paramananda Puri to Jagannath Puri, and he sent a note to the king of Jagannath Puri that Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet he owes 300 rupees. And therefore, to liquidate that debt, please, you can supply this amount. Incidentally, that note only reached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very angry. And he was very much flustered. And apparently, as he was angry, he smiled. And he called upon the devotees and told that never allow this Kamalakanta Vishwas to be in my association. And because he minimizes the position of Advaita Acharya, he says at one instance that Advaita Acharya is the incarnation, and yet how can he be under death? And Prabhupada then says that the now called so-called Mayavadis, they say Daridra Narayan, right? That the Narayan has become Daridra. So we see all these people and as Daridra Narayan. And therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very much disturbed. So when Advaita Acharya heard this, he became very ecstatic, and he said that, oh dear Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are so much merciful on this Kamalakanta Vishwas. You never showed this mercy to me, even to this level. I had to speak the Yoga Vashishta to completely receive your chastisement. And yet, you simply allowed me in your association thereafter. But you are so merciful to Kamalakanta Vishwas that you have denounced him from your association. And therefore, Kamalakanta Vishwas does not know the favor that he has received on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has received the utmost attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has consumed the consciousness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and therefore he has received the favor. Similarly, we see the pastime of Sanatana Goswami visiting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya, when he embraced Sanatana Goswami, the oozing pus from the pores of Sanatana Goswami's body was touching the Lord. And that was creating inconvenience to Sanatana Goswami, and he feared that this would be a great offense to the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he asked Jagannanda Pandit, what should I do? So Jagannanda Pandit said, you better go to Vrindavan. So Sanatana Goswami went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said that, I better go to Vrindavan. So he said, who said this? I said, Jagannanda Pandit, he said that, you know, better go to Vrindavan. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately became angry. Who do you think that, who does this think that Jaga is? He's a young boy, the young lad, and he has the impudence to instruct you who are the spiritual master of even myself. I regard you in high opinion and take inspiration and guidance in matters of Vaishnava etiquette and dealing with Vaishnavas. And how can Jagannanda Pandit can take up this position? And he became very angry. And Sanatana Goswami was not very pleased that Jagannanda Pandit was being chastised, and that was very appropriate. But he became happy for Jagannanda Pandit and became sad for himself. He said, my dear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are always offering me praises, but you have never chastised me. But you have chastised Jagannanda Pandit as if he was your own. And therefore, I consider the position of Jagannanda Pandit as being the most fortunate. So, even we see in this wonderful incident that Sanatana Goswami, all the great devotees have glorified chastisement. And therefore, even we see when the incidents of Mukunda, who was being chastised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he expressed his great patience and enthusiasm and eagerness for the darshan of the Lord, even after millions of births, that was the qualification that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awarded him audience into his intimate association. So we see that there are many incidences of Lord being chastised. There are the incidences of Devananda Pandit being chastised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similar understanding is given in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhupada said, why? Why chastisement? And Prabhupada quotes Chanakya Pandit. He says, Lalane bahavo dosha, taadane bahavo guna, putram cha shishyam cha, taadane natu lalayet. That means, if one simply pats, if a spiritual master simply pats his disciples, then his disciple will increase in many faults. And if one is chastised, then the disciple will develop good qualities. And therefore, putram cha shishyam cha taadayet natu lalayet. Therefore, a son or a disciple should never be glorified praise, but should be always chastised. And therefore, we see that even in Srila Prabhupada's own life, one time disciples were walking with Srila Prabhupada in the morning walk, and Prabhupada, would you narrate an example of and the story that how you are chastised by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? It was really very, it was a very odd question put forward to the spiritual master. But Srila Prabhupada, nonetheless, in his complete humility, he didn't just give a very brief account and just leave it there. He explained thoroughly. He said, when I was in a lecture, when Guru Maharaj was speaking, so he was very strict. And when I was when he was speaking, there was an elderly gentleman who was coming regularly and he wanted to say something to me because he had not understood something. So he came and asked me, He was asking me while Guru Maharaj was speaking. And Guru Maharaj immediately pointed out this aged man. What do you think you are? Just because you are donating 60 rupees a month, do you think you have purchased us? And he started chastising this aged man, left and right. And then he chastised Prabhupada also, because he was party to that. And he said that, whom do you think I am speaking this for? Better you come and speak and sit on the Vyasasana. So Prabhupada said, I was very much relieved when I was being chastised by the spiritual master. I was very much pleased that my spiritual master chastised me. The very first instance when he met Srila Prabhupada was that of chastisement. The very first relationship of Srila Prabhupada with his Guru Maharaj was that of being chastised. And because Srila Prabhupada took that chastisement as the mercy of his spiritual master, that was the cause of the secret of success of Srila Prabhupada's mission. So we see that Shishya means to be accept discipline. And therefore immediately as Arjuna accepted to become the Shishya of Krishna, Krishna chastised him. The first instance when Arjuna became a disciple. So this instance shows that a disciple must be always ready to be chastised by the spiritual master. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru More Murkhade Ki Korila Shashan. Again and again, Sri Lord, the Supreme Lord, his devotees, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he always emphasized this point that always I consider myself to be a fool before my spiritual master. That does not mean that you must become a fool or remain a fool, but you must remain a fool before your spiritual master. And once Srila Prabhupada was walking on a morning walk, and Srila Prabhupada said, oh, do you see, have you read our book, Easy Journey to the Other Planets? And that book, we have said that this attempt of the scientists to go to the moon is childish. So Prabhupada said, have you read that? So one disciple said, no Prabhupada, actually I don't recollect. So Prabhupada, bring the book. And he said, started to search the book because he knew his books. And he said, where is the statement? And another devotee was there. He said, Prabhupada, we omitted that statement. And Prabhupada became very angry. Do you think you are more advanced in a spiritual master? And you try to rectify and edit the statements of the spiritual master, having no faith in the statements? And he said, Prabhupada, that was before that moon mission. And therefore, you know, after the moon mission, if the statements would be there, then the people would not believe your books, Srila Prabhupada. But then, he did not accept to remain as a fool before the spiritual master. Therefore, he did not remain with the spiritual master. And therefore, a devotee, a disciple, even he may be more advanced and more erudite in learning and scholarship than the spiritual master, must never consider himself more than anything than before the spiritual master. And therefore, the first benefit of chastisement is that one learns to become humble. And humility is the beginning of knowledge. And as we said, that Srila Prabhupada was very happy to be chastised by his spiritual master at the first meeting. We could appreciate the message of what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying. We can appreciate, when we take the chastisement rightly, we can appreciate the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also chastised Junior Haridas, Chota Haridas, so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could use Junior Haridas as an instrument to set the right example for the coming humanity. That anyone in the renounced order of life should not have any intimate connections with women. And therefore he established the principles of rigid, regulative principles while performing devotional service. And therefore, Prabhupada once said that if one is not chastised, then the faults will develop. To rectify, to bring the devotee back to the right standard, we need to accept the chastisement. And Narad Muni chastised Srila Vyasadev. Again, we see, just so that Srila Vyasadev could give the right understanding of the scriptures, the essence of the scriptures. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said that a disciple is always in deficiency before the spiritual master, And he shouldn't think that he has become perfect at any point of time. And as long as he thinks that he has not become perfect, that is his perfection. But if he thinks that after chastisement he's rectified, he's become perfect, then that is nonsense. And therefore Prabhupada said that as soon as he thinks he is perfect, he is foolish. And Prabhupada would chastise his disciples and said that I am chastising you simply that you will not become an ordinary foolish person. And Prabhupada therefore chastised his disciples out of loving affection. Prabhupada wrote to one disciple in one of his letters that on the wonderful appreciation of the chastisement, and he said that you are appreciating the chastisement of a spiritual master, Krishna will certainly bless you with this appreciation. And therefore, we see that to be chastised by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees is a great mercy. As Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi, when he was discussing about the matters related to the starched clothes of Lord Jagannath and his servants not imitating the inappropriate behavior, so Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi was, in his dream, was slapped by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu came as Krishna Balaram, and they actually the cheeks went red. And when he woke up after this dream, after offering obeisances, he was so happy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not come to anyone's dream and chastise. So it is one of the very, very significant events that this mercy was shown specifically. And once a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Vilas Prabhu, he was in very much praise. He would always praise Srila Prabhupada, and he would praise in very, very erudite poetry. So when he would praise, so this once upon a time, as we were walking and Prabhupada was in the temple, just walking outside the temple, and Vishal Prabhu started glorifying in Sanskrit verses about Srila Prabhupada, glorifying, and said that we think that we have met your goodness by the providence of the Supreme. Like the professional reciters glorifying Prithu Maharaj. So Prabhupada this time was not in the mood to reciprocate in a humorous way. Rather, he took in a very serious way. And as they were walking, there were some puddles of water near the entrance. And Prabhupada took a stick, the silver cane stick, which was offered by Vilas Prabhu as a Vyas Puja gift to Srila Prabhupada, and took the stick and stuck in the puddle and said, and he said that it is the grace of the providence that you do not see this unclean, dirty puddle. And then his glorification was turned into that of a regret, and said, I am sorry Srila Prabhupada, I will try to rectify it for your pleasure. And Prabhupada was not satiated, he was not pacified. He went ahead and he said that this dirty things, as soon as there is water, the dirt from the shoes will come and will make it dirty. So you have no eyes to see. And he chastised Vilas Prabhu like anything. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said that do something practical. Once Prabhupada was glorified by his devotees, Prabhupada, you are staying all up the night awake, writing books for us, translating all these purports, and you are having a busy schedule all around the day. So we are really much overawed by your great sacrifice. And Prabhupada was anticipating as if Prabhupada would humbly accept that praise. But Prabhupada was not in a mood to accept that praise. And Prabhupada said, don't praise me, do as I do. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that don't just glorify your spiritual master, act on his instructions, do something practical. And therefore, immediately, one of the devotees asked, what is Prabhupada? Devotees are being criticized that, you know, under the name of practicality. What is this doing this practical? We are not able to understand this. And Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is not mere sentiment and an excuse. And he said, it is not a system of simply pressing the nose. That means a mechanical yoga system. Pressing the nose and doing all this. It's not a mechanical system. It is not a sentimental expression for and an excuse for doing nothing. Oh, I am fallen, you know, what can I do? And so many things. So Prabhupada said that, nor are the devotees incapable of real achievement. So it's not that it's a sentiment and excuse for doing nothing. At the same time, devotees are capable of doing it, but they are not doing it. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, practical. And Prabhupada said, very wonderful explanation of practical. Practical means, it will be done by Krishna. But at the same time, you have to do your services devoutly, with sincerity and faith that Krishna will certainly help. And therefore, Prabhupada said that imperfect activity is a sign of lack of surrender. We still think that it will be done by us. As Srinathji Prabhu was wonderfully giving that comment that day, that sometimes we think that what we cannot do, Krishna also may not be able to do. And that faith is not there. But we should have that faith that what I am not able to do, that Krishna will be able to do. And that is practical. So we see that again and again, devotees being chastised by Srila Prabhupada, and when Sasur Maharaj was once being chastised, so he was supposed to enclose a letter to Guru Das Prabhu to New Delhi, a carbon copy of his letter to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada had replied and said that I have enclosed the previous carbon copy of your letter. And Prabhupada once just asked Satsaru Maharaj that, no, have you enclosed the letter? And like Satsaru Maharaj was really what caught up, because it was unexpected that Srila Prabhupada would ask this question. As if, because he had committed that mistake, he had not enclosed it. And he was hardly anticipating that Prabhupada would remember this small detail. And Prabhupada said that, have you? So he thought and said that, better I be truthful. And he said that, Prabhupada, I did not enclose the letter. And Prabhupada became very heavy and told that, I have written in the letter that I have enclosed, and you have not enclosed that letter. That means that will come as a blemish on me. And he kept chastising Satsuru Maharaj, and Satsuru Maharaj offered first defense. Oh, Prabhupada, it was not there in the files. I could not look at the letter. Then again Prabhupada, he was thinking that Prabhupada would become calm and take that excuse. Second Prabhupada, he said, oh Prabhupada, I forgot. Prabhupada, how can you forget? I mean, like, he was again taken to task. And then he said, Prabhupada, I am insincere. I am not doing my duty properly. I am not taking my relationship with you seriously. And Prabhupada would still, tears were coming from his eyes, and he was sobbing and he was wiping away his nose, and he was trying all the way to get away from Srila Prabhupada, and he was just staying in that room to be spiritually alive, he mentions. So now he thought, now what to do? Prabhupada is still in front of me, and he's still very much disappointed in his eyes. So immediately he said, okay Prabhupada, I write a letter, an apology letter to Gurudas Prabhu, that I have not, it was my mistake that I did not do it, and therefore I will clarify the situation. And then Prabhupada told, okay, that's fine. And then next time when Prabhupada would meet Satsuru Maharaj, he would never mention this incident. So therefore, Satsuru Maharaj says there were three lessons from this chastisement. First is that never take any service very lightly. Never take a sign, taking too details is a sign of love. And therefore every detail should be taken with gravity. Secondly, he said that never try to play any games with Krishna and Prabhupada. Trying to dodge and try to defend and try to escape. Because ultimately they know everything and you'll be caught. And finally, don't just lament and keep lamenting yourself, self-abusive of the situation. Immediately rectify the situation. So there's wonderful incidences of chastisement of Srila Prabhupada. Very wonderful. Just last to conclude with, once Srila Prabhupada was out in his room and he called for his servant who was guarding outside. And that servant was not there, and Prabhupada called him. He was not there, and Prabhupada told, now Yogendra Maharaj at that time, go and call him. So that devotee was called in, and Prabhupada immediately chastised him left and right. What do you think, you rascal? You are not even doing your duty properly. Where were you? And like this devotee was trembling. At the same time, now Yogendra Maharaj was there, he was also trembling, seeing the fury of Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada left him, And Prabhupada, then Namayogendra Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, actually if your spiritual master is angry with any one of us, now how should we react, how should we feel? Prabhupada said that the disciple must be pleased when the spiritual master is angry. Because out of so many people, he is giving you attention. So many people are roaming in the street, so many people are here and there. Out of all those people, he is choosing you and giving you attention. And therefore, this must be the wonderful attitude when a disciple is chastised. And therefore, Prabhupada was very much kind to his devotees when he chastised them. So, this is a small way what we could discuss about this wonderful topic of chastisement and receiving chastisement. Already late. Sorry for the delay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.